The organization we are profiling tonight is called Free, and this could be their house band. The band is named Free. You might remember their big hit was something called All Right Now, and the vocalist Paul Rogers is pretty well known. But this is a really good band, had other good bluesy stuff. The song's called Fire and Water. We're talking with the board members of Free, the Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. Dr. Robert Davis and Ray Hernandez have been with us in the first hour. In a moment, we'll be joined by Mary Rodwell, a well-known author and investigator from Australia, who is also one of the founding members and has a lot of information and insight into some of the research and results that are coming back from this incredible survey. 600 questions in all that's been sent out all over the world. Much more to come here on Coast to Coast AM. We are joined now by Mary Rodwell, a founding member of Free, a counselor, hypnotherapist, ufologist. She's also founded something called the Australian Close Encounter Resource Network and is the author of a book called Awakening, How Extraterrestrial Contact Can Transform Your Life. Mary, it's great to have you back on the program.
Good to speak with you again, George.
We've been talking with Ray and Robert about some of the initial results from the surveys that have been sent out, and I've been told by both of them that about 80% of the perceived effects are positive, that the 80% of the folks think they don't want it to end, that it's had a positive effect on the lives of those involved. It would seem like, based on the title of your book, How Extraterrestrial Contact Can Transform Your Life, that would be the viewpoint that you had all along. Has this study, has these results helped to confirm things that you felt you already knew?
Absolutely. And it has been very heartening because you know what it's like for most of us researchers. We feel very much on our own with this. You know, we might be part of some organization or whatever, but a lot of the time researchers are on their own with working this out. And for me, with working with over 3,000 individuals up to date, there is no doubt in my mind that there was only a percentage that were really struggling with this experience. And it was amazing to find that I was working out that maybe 25 or 30% were still struggling or found it still very traumatic, where the greater percentage, 75 to 80%, were actually very comfortable ultimately, I say, once they'd come to terms with it. Some never had any trauma anyway, and you know, with their experiences, they really didn't want it to change. Their biggest problem is being on a planet where they couldn't talk about it, and you know, they were fearful of judgment more than anything else, rather than the actual experiences.
Is there something in the study or in your experience, Mary, to begin with, where you had people have these strange encounters with an unknown entity or intelligence, and there is verifiable medical evidence of a physical change, not just their attitudes or their outlook, but they have a disease and suddenly it's gone? Anything like that?
Well, actually, I've just written about a particular case only a few months ago. It was in Melbourne, and it was a lady who was 66 years old. She had chronic back degeneration. The doctor was really concerned that she would end up in a wheelchair. She was on heavy medication. I'm talking about morphine here. She couldn't even climb up the stairs. And she had this really weird experience one night where she felt she was being levitated. The next morning, all her electronic equipment, all the batteries were flat, which she couldn't work out. She thought there was something wrong with them. But she found that she could get up, she could wander around, she was no longer in pain, and couldn't work out how this had happened. Her doctor was completely mystified. I even got her x-rays and what they actually said about her back. And when we did hypnosis, we discovered that she'd been taken up on a craft. They'd actually done a healing procedure. And from that healing procedure, they were telling her now she'd got a job to do. You know, so many have this sense of mission and purpose, for example. She's saying, look, Mary, you know, I'm 66 years old. There's no way in the world that I would think that I'd be any use to anyone at my age, you know, really just considering a wheelchair as their only option. But this incredible story was not only backed up by her doctor, but from that, this lady now also found that her consciousness and her intelligence had been bumped up, and she's now dialoguing with scientists in terms of chemtrails, GMOs, And she's 69 years old, and I met her literally a few months ago when I went to Melbourne. And she said, "Mary, I've got more energy than I used to have 30 years ago. The doctor can't understand how on earth I can, you know, operate as I do now." And on top of that, she said, "I know stuff I never knew before." So it wasn't just a physical healing. Somehow or other, her consciousness and her intelligence had been bumped up as well. And it's quite an incredible story, but one of a number that I've come across over the years.
And Ray, do you have any other cases that are coming in through the surveys that you've conducted that are sort of verifiable physical changes in anybody? Is Ray there? I'm going to go back to Mary. Mary?
Yes, I'm here. I apologize, George.
I was calling to, I mean, asking whether or not there's verifiable physical changes in people's health or mental or physical health that has popped up in the survey so far.
Yes, we've had quite a few. The two that I can speak publicly are two individuals that have gone public with their experiences. One is an experiencer named Chris Bledsoe, and he had Crohn's disease. He was actually receiving a monthly disability a check because of his Crohn's disease. And he was taken aboard a craft. He was gone for 7 hours. There were five adult witnesses to his case. And when he was returned, he was completely cured of his Crohn's disease. That was verified through various diagnostic exams by his medical doctors, and he has all of those documents. And plus, that case was reported to MUFON. They did a thorough investigation. They even did a very short video on his experiences with his four other adult witnesses. The other case is also well known. Again, I could talk about it because it's public. Dr. Michael Carter, Reverend Michael Carter, he's an ordained minister in North Carolina. He has a master's from the New York Theological Seminary. And he publicly discussed that, and he was part of Bud Hopkins' group in New York City, where he was released from a hospital with a blood clot in one leg. He said it was twice the size as the other leg. And then this tall human-looking being suddenly appeared in front of him, dressed in blue, touched him, then knocked him out. And then when he woke up, but it was maybe an hour later, his leg was just as normal, perfectly healed. And then he went back to the doctor, and the doctor asked him what had happened. And obviously, you know, he couldn't tell all the details to the doctor, but that's another documented case. And we literally have at least 20 of these cases in our study. But one question that we did ask on your question, to address that question, we asked in phase two, do you believe that any of these ETs have performed a medical healing on either you or another member of your family? We had 972 people that answered that question. Out of those, almost 50%, 483 people said yes, that they had a medical healing performed by the ETs either on themselves or a member of their family. So it's a huge number, almost 50%, George.
Well, that would be something that somebody like Dr. Robert Davis would be interested in pursuing, I would think, because you could get case records and medical histories, and if you could verify that for that many people, you'd be onto something. Right, Robert?
Indeed. And upon reviewing the qualitative responses in our phase three to the 70 questions, many do elaborate on the healing effect that they experienced as a result of their encounter with non-humans, and it manifests in many different forms, and they claim at least through conscious recall that before they either had cancer, back problems, joint issues, but were cured from them based on follow-up medical examination.
Well, now, it's anonymous, though. I guess how do you follow it up if the respondents are anonymous?
We do have their email addresses, and we're going to ask them to participate in extensive interviews in our next phase, which will begin in August. And this is certainly a piece of evidence that we need to explore much more extensively before we can, add, you know, considerable validity to what we see as a unique issue in terms of the insights we are receiving. But even related to that are the psychological, conscious, the psychic components to the experience, which has been dramatically changed in very positive ways that also supplement the physiologic changes that we are also seeing.
Are you talking about overall better mood, or are you talking about improved abilities, cognitive abilities?
More specifically in the area of positive transformational effects in terms of their desire to help others, the compassion for others. We're talking about over 70% of the 2,300 individuals are reporting to have a strongly more desire and increase in their willingness to help others. Their compassion for others have also significantly increased. They become more appreciative of ordinary things in life. They're more interested in psychic phenomena. They can love others in an impersonal way. We're talking, again, over 70% are saying this. They're more sensitive to the suffering of others. They're more interested in spiritual matters, less interested in organized religion, interestingly. But they seem to come away from their experience with a greater understanding of themselves. They have a desire to achieve a higher state of consciousness. They appreciate nature more. They're more ecologically sensitive. They become more spiritual. They seem to have a better understanding of what life is all about. And here again, the vast majority of a large data sample are, again, saying this. We have to extend these results over time with many more thousands, but this is a significant database that is saying something quite unique that is difficult to dismiss and ignore.
Right. And look, Mary, I want to ask Mary a question. Mary, are we, you've seen this, the results, and of course you've done your own research in your home country. Are we seeing different kinds of beings here than what is being reported in Australia, or is there a cultural filter that affects what kinds of entities are being encountered, or everybody's all over the board?
Well, I'd say that unfortunately with what we get from the media and from what they're getting, you know, in terms of popular fiction is the greys and the reptilians and a few humanoids. But what I've been getting all along, and I've noticed more and more when people, you know, contact me from over the globe, I mean, this is from Africa to Uruguay to, you know, Europe, is that there's a whole range of beings that people are interacting with that are not known in you know, by the public at all, because, you know, the public's pretty uninformed in many cases as to the fact that 50% of people, 50% of those beings are actually humanoid to begin with, not so much as people believe, you know, the greys, the talls, the short greys, or the reptilians, and energy beings, crystalline beings, lion, cat, feline beings. There's a whole range of these different ones, some, you know, that look like enlightened, you know, sort of humanoids that, you know, would be seen as maybe angelic or, you know, like spirit support or spirit guides or whatever. And this is the thing that has blown me away, is when I actually talk to those that have had, and some of them call them their otherworldly experiences, that they are going, they believe, into other dimensions, other worlds, other realities, and they are experiencing beings that, you know, blue beings, tall blue beings, for example, and connecting with them on a really personal level. This is not about being taken against their will. It's not about, you know, feeling in any way that they are alien. They're seeing them more as part of, you know, something they're connected to on a very, very deep level. This is not known, you know, generally with the uninformed public, who are only being, you know, to the most extent, all they think of is it's mostly the greys, or it's, as I say, the reptilians and a few odd humanoids. And this is right across the board in every country that I'm interacting with. And it was quite interesting. I was talking to a young man in India, and his biggest frustration was that he said, my culture, Mary, believes that these are all gods. And he said, and that's my problem, because I know they're not. I know that they are not only extraterrestrial, but they're interdimensional. Probably some of them are extra-dimensional as well, and maybe some of them are even time travelers, as some believe them to be. So we're looking at this huge range, and yet we're still putting them into, you know, the little miniature, you know, minuscule boxes of greys and tall greys or whatever, because in fact that's not what we're finding out with Free, and I certainly am not finding it out with the CERN.
Well, it makes you wonder, are they a bunch of different kinds from different places with different motives and agendas, or are they all the same thing and appearing to us in different forms? And if so, how could we ever know what they really look like? Ray, any thoughts from the data that you've got so far suggesting what the most common characteristics of these beings are?
Well, the most common type of being that are seen is actually the energy being. That's at 55.5%. And then the number two type of being is the human-looking being. That's at 53%. And then, as Mary said, there's a whole litany of other types of beings that are being described. But we've had many, many, many individuals have told us that these beings, that they've asked these beings, I know you don't look that way. I want to see what you really look like. And in many of these cases, they look like energy beings when they reveal themselves. So, you know, there is that speculation that we have that that many of these types of beings that are being shown to individuals are not actually what they look like. Again, that might be just one component of certain cases that we're looking at, not all of them. But again, we're just starting our study. We haven't even finished phase three, and we haven't even started the formal interviews. But as you said, George, this is, you know, a wild and crazy experience that we're going through, and no one has really studied any of this comprehensively, formally, academically.
Sort of the same question for Dr. Davis. Then, if they're all the same thing and they appear to us in different ways, it's hard to figure out what they really look like. I mean, even if they show us what they say they really look like, who knows if that is what they look like? Well, and the other exactly flip right. side of that coin would be maybe there's a whole bunch of different ones that are popping into our lives.
Yes, and I ask the same question. I think we all do. We don't have a conclusive answer to that. There are more questions than answers. We're trying to get at some of those answers and the unifying principle possibly to support what is going on. The point is, whatever it is, grays, humanoids, reptilians, whatever is happening, whether it's extra-dimensional in nature, interdimensional, tricksters, who knows what. The fact that, again, over 80% are coming away from their numerous experiences, in many cases consists of multiple experiences per individual, which is more common than just one experience. The fact that they're coming away from this transformed in such a positive way, in some of the ways that I shared earlier, among many other ways, the bottom line is, bring it on. Keep doing it. Even if it is a potential phenomena of just consciousness and the brain in and of itself, let it happen. You know, the point is this a potential objective that whatever being it is, or energy form, or who knows what, is their objective to elevate the level of spirituality and consciousness on an individual basis until humanity is transformed in a positive way? We're seeing, possibly, and I have to say if and possible, you know, every time I speak, in a sense, because we don't have the irrefutable conclusions yet, if ever. But I think we're on the right track. And this is, again, where research needs to go within ufology in order to get greater acceptance with the scientific community, among the public at large. The point is, what is the objective, the mission, the purpose of these experiences? And it does seem to be a positive one, and related to spirituality and consciousness.
Yeah, the big questions remain unanswered, but it sounds like, at least through this research, you're at least getting closer. We're talking with Mary Rodwell, Ray Hernandez, and Dr. Robert Davis. When we come back, we'll get into more of the survey results and what they've been finding, and where these experiences happen, and most often, and I think you'll be surprised about that. Much more to come here on Coast to Coast AM. Creedence Clearwater, Born on the Bayou, a great old song, and we, you know, we have this archetype in our heads about what alien encounters are like, and they happen at a place like out on the bayou or on a country road, somewhere out in the boondocks. It's nighttime, you're by yourself, and that's when the aliens come and snatch you up. The results so far of the several hundred, a couple of thousand, I guess, respondents to these surveys that have been distributed all over the world indicate something quite different, that the place where most of these encounters happen, it'll be surprising to you, and also the fact that most people, or at least a lot of people, are not, in fact, alone. We're going to get into some of those results with my guests here, coming back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. We're back with Dr. Robert Davis, Ray Hernandez, and Mary Rodwell talking about these results from this wide-ranging survey distributed by FREE. Mary, let me ask you this. The 80% positive results that that Ray told us about and that you say that you've seen as well in your own work, where did these stories about these nasty alien abductions come from then? Were they, did they not happen, or did they have they gone away, or how do we explain what seems to be a disparity in the common conception about what alien encounters have been like for a lot of people?
Oh, it's a big and complex one, that one, George, and it's a very interesting one. First of all, I need to say that sometimes the trauma comes from not knowing what happened, so that they're fearful until they actually explore the experience, and often that may be through hypnosis, where they discover, for example, what actually went on, and sometimes what they believed or feared happened actually hasn't happened. So that can shift a lot of people from that being traumatized to actually understanding. But the most traumatized, and this does take us into the conspiratorial side that I've come across both here and in America and in the UK, is ones that have had what we call the, you know, the MILAB, the military orchestrated pseudo-abductions. And these, you know, it's very hard for any of us, I think, particularly as researchers, to believe that this is going on another level with covert agencies. And my understanding has come from a lot of research, including some excellent books on the subject. I mean, Dr. Stephen Greer talks about this, but also Dr. Lama in his book, My Labs, explaining, you know, exactly what the agenda is. And the agenda, from what I can understand, for those who have experienced this, and I will say quite a high percentage of those with experiences also have experienced My Lab. And there is a very distinct difference in their minds, certainly, when they find out the difference to the traumatic ones and to the ones that have actually been, as far as they can see, transformative and helpful to them. So we have to really understand this is a really complex part of this, in understanding why, you know, the trauma's there. And as I say, the most traumatized I found, ultimately, for me anyway, in my research, have been the ones that have had human orchestrated abductions, in, which happen where they're taken to certain bases, and where what seems to happen is they're drugged, traumatized, and made to believe this is extraterrestrial. And there's a very good reason behind this. One of them is so that they won't be believed, but also because they want to find out what happens on the craft. So they will debrief them through various techniques, drugs and whatever, and find out what actually they've learned on the craft. They want to know about these different types of beings, what they're up to, what their agenda is, et cetera, et cetera. And this is one of the ways that they can do it. And if anyone wonders how they manage to do this, they have the same technology as a lot of these intelligences have. But this is a really deep, deep rabbit hole. And, you know, it's very hard to explain for somebody coming new into this. But there are really quite a number of wonderful people writing about their experiences. Nayara Isley is one of them, where she's experienced this. I've even talked to children that are aware that some of this kind of thing is going on. And when you've got children under 10 explaining to you that they know these kind of covert dark programs are going on this planet, it really is very compelling. But this, I believe, is responsible for a high percentage of those most traumatized. I'm not saying that all of the extraterrestrials have a positive agenda, because I don't know. I don't think any of us know exactly what, you know, all the agendas by any means, but we at least are seeing, as Dr. Bob Davis has been talking about, ultimately with most of the extraterrestrial encounters, there seems to be a positive outcome, whereas after my lab, they are left very, very severely traumatized, and that is what I can see is a very distinct difference.
Well, let me ask you this, Mary, and then the same question to Dr. Davis about the allegations, the well-known stories about alien interest in our reproductive systems, the stories about hybrid children, some sort of a breeding program. That's been part of modern UFO mythology, or at least the general story, for a long time. It's Bud Hopkins and David Jacobs and John Mack to some extent, and you know, a lot of people have come forward with these kinds of stories and reported experiences. What do you make of those then? Is that my labs too?
I think it's a mixture of both, because there's no doubt that these intelligences, at least a number of them, are particularly interested in human DNA. And even the children talk about their focus on human DNA and what different programs they had, including, you know, creating hybrids. And this is really a very important part of this, that there is this agenda to, if you like, do genetic modification with certain individuals. And I'm noticing what I perceive is some of that through the intergenerational links to encounters with families and their children, where the children will actually talk about the fact that they're aware that they've been altered in some way by a particular being that they are connected to. So there's no doubt it's going on, certainly on but all those levels, not only with extraterrestrials, but also with these darker agendas as well, where it seems to be happening as well, including cloning and this kind of thing. It all sounds very sci-fi, and I know for a lot of people they may struggle with that. But, you know, I can only go on, you know, this isn't just all, you know, hypnosis. We're talking about conscious recall, not only with adults in their 60s, 70s, right down to, you know, young adults, including children, that are saying they've met hybrids on spacecraft and described how they were different in some way.
Dr. Davis, same sort of question. I mean, is that popping up in the survey results, at least some people reporting?
To the entire perplexing mix of information that we're sharing here, but nevertheless, it's a reliable component. The question we asked, for instance, in our survey, do you believe that you've been involved in an alien breeding program, such as genetic material being taken from you? 42% said yes. And the other question that's related is, if you believe you are part of the ET, so to speak, and I hate the acronym ET, but let's use it anyway, do you believe that you have any alien hybrid child or children? 63% said yes. When I reviewed the qualitative responses now from over 800 individuals, there is considerable reference to DNA. In various ways, either DNA was obtained as a result of medical procedures that we are all familiar with, although it doesn't happen as commonly as people think, but it apparently is reported to occur nevertheless, and that they're told. So some say that their DNA will help species in other worlds, or that our DNA has an error in its programming, which gives rise to all the hate and violence, etc., that manifests on our planet today. That's the kind of information that people contend to receive as it relates to this component of the phenomenon. So there is something here going on with genetic material. In fact, if I may add, your listeners will find on YouTube Mary Rodwell's lectures related to this and other matters associated with this phenomenon to be extraordinarily insightful and groundbreaking. And I encourage your listeners to listen to her speak. But nevertheless, yes, indeed, this is just one of many complex issues that we're trying to wrestle with. And even, you know, going into the past, in terms of ufologists from the 60s and 70s, like Alan Hynek and John Mack, obviously, Fowler, Alexander, they all talked a bit about this psychic component element associated with the phenomenon that they obviously regard as real. But it is also a component that complements the physical. And no answers obviously have emerged from that. But Free is trying to address this, and I think it's about time that ufology does consider this to be an important aspect of the phenomena in order to better understand the essence of what governs it, by understanding, in a sense, the essence of the experience by those who have it.
Ray, let me ask you this. Is there any kind of hint in the results that have come back so far about who gets picked for this kind of thing? Whether there's a genetic component that's identifiable, or, you know, a lot of listeners will send me notes about blood type, Rh negative blood, or any kind of markers that pop out of the data so far?
Well, we actually did ask that question on the blood type. And we asked the respondents to identify their blood type, and if any of them had Rh negative. And what came back was 15%, which is exactly the percentage of Rh negative in the U.S. population, 15%. So we dispelled that rumor that's circulating all over the internet. But the experience, and I'm sure Mary and Rosemary, when she comes on later on, they've been researching these cases for over 30 years, and our data states the same thing, because we asked individuals to state their background, their educational background, the type of work that they do. And we've had PhD physicists, PhD academics, firemen, doctors, lawyers, you name it, you know, housewives, the full spectrum. We've had individuals from different religions. Over 70 countries have responded to our surveys. This is in the English language. And in the Spanish language, every country, Latin America and Spain, has responded. So this is a worldwide phenomenon. And so there really aren't any markers for distinguishing particular individuals.
I was talking in the break about the sort of the stereotype about where and when these abductions or interactions happen. People think that you're alone, you're out on a lonely road or on the bayou or something like that. But at least the results, I'm trying to remember the statistics I saw, Ray, is that most of them happen at home.
Well, it depends on what terminology we're using. First of all, you use the term abduction. What we discovered was that abductions are only one-third of the contact experiences that individuals are having. Like in my case, I had a direct contact experience, but I was not abducted. My wife was taken. But the data that we've gotten back from our survey was only one-third of the individuals that have had direct contact have had what is commonly described as an abduction. In terms of even the people that have been abducted, one-third of the individuals state that they have given permission for them to be relocated or taken. And the vast majority of them do not even like that term abduction because of the connotations associated with it. But people have been exposed to these entities in all types of settings. Individuals driving in cars have had interactions, even individuals in the backyards, in the woods. You name it, all type of settings, but the most common environment to have these type of contact experiences is in your own home, and particularly in the bedroom. And again, this is not while they're sleeping. These are not lucid dreams. These are when the individuals are awake.
Bob and Ray, you guys are going to be here with me for a while. Mary is only here until the end of the segment, so I want to hear from her on some big question stuff, because I mean, the big questions remain unanswered. I mean, you're closer to getting some answers, but who they are, where they're from, what their interest is in us, ultimately. I mean, we've got some ideas, but I mean, Mary, the big questions, we're still not quite sure.
Oh, I think this is why, you know, what we're doing with Free is so important, because being so inclusive in all the different aspects of this experience, which hasn't been the case. As you know, George, it's been very much focused on the scientific nuts and bolts side of this experience, understandably so. But what we're now taking on board is all those other non-physical aspects that people are experiencing, and with that we're getting far more insight in what happens when it seems to be contact is intergenerational. They seem to be upgrading us as a species, and this is what, you know, is coming through with those with conscious memory, with the children that I talk to. They say that they seem to understand from their encounters with many different types of beings that where they have they are, if you like, helping us as a species to evolve. It all seems to be very much geared on evolution and in terms of raising our awareness, raising our consciousness. And what goes with that is all the what we call the psychic phenomena. You know, that people seem to be more empathic, as we see, and having this whole new way of looking at their world, their life. They change their life through this. They are refocused, they become less materialistic. So that is an outcome that we can say is very much part of the agenda, even though we don't know all the agendas. One of them certainly is this huge change in mindset and this awakened, would like to call it, multidimensional aspect of our awareness, which is accelerated, it seems to be, after these experiences. People find that they can sense energy, they can see a broader spectrum of reality, for example. You know, they appear to have abilities in terms of mind influencing and this kind of thing, which they beforehand were not able to do. So there's a whole range of these, from psychokinesis right through to healing abilities, et cetera, et cetera. So whatever the agenda is, one of them for sure is shifting our consciousness into a new awareness that seems to be positive in most cases from what we can see. So that's one agenda. What else goes with that? I think there's probably a multitude of them, but one of them certainly seems to be no longer wanting us to be aggressive, to look after the planet. Many of them become very much more ecologically aware. They want to live more holistic lifestyles. So there's a big message there in what they're saying and telling us is, you know, we're told we can't do this to the planet anymore. We've got to look at, you know, get away from fossil fuels, for example. Everything is about taking care of the planet and actually caring about each other. So these seem to be very much the outcomes. So whatever the agenda is, that's one of them for sure. But what else is going on? Your guess is as good as mine. And that's why I think what Free is doing is so vital, because this is giving us a wonderful perspective on what may be part of the complex agendas of these many different intelligences that I think we're interacting with on multiple levels.
Well, I've heard those alien editorials for a long time. Take care of your planet. Don't blow it up with nuclear weapons. Clean up the pollution. Be good to each other, kind of stuff. I have seen very little evidence of them intervening directly in human affairs, at least on a macro scale. Perhaps they're doing it on the micro scale. And if they are, in fact, upgrading us as human beings and improving, elevating our consciousness, I guess maybe I'd hope that they'd pick up the pace a little bit before we do ourselves in. Mary, thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate you tuning in and sharing with us your fine work with Free, and I hope you'll come back and talk to us again sometime.
Absolute pleasure, George. Anytime. Thank you again.
Thanks. Robert Davis and Ray Hernandez will be around for the rest of the program. In the final hour tonight, we'll be opening up the phone lines with your questions and comments and calls, and I know a lot of folks out there will want to share some stories and your own experiences with them and find out how to take this survey, how to share your information and be part of the research project. Coming up in the next hour, in the next segment, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who is also a board member with Free and who's written extensively about a range of paranormal topics, will be here to share us with us her insight. And I want to ask her about how the big picture, how some of this other paranormal activity fits into the big picture with these entities that we're describing as aliens. Much more to come here on Coast to Coast AM.